Welcome to Career and Life Direction. I'm Nathan Olson, or Norwegian Soul. If you haven't been to this site before, this is a website for you if you're trying to identify and develop your God-given potential. And today I'm very happy to be talking in a coffee shop here in Eastern Canada in Quebec to Robert Burns. Welcome, Robert.
As Nathan has just said, my name is Robert Burns. I'm a native of Quebec. I was brought up on a farm. I'm 81 years old. I have known the Lord for over 60 years. I have found Him to be faithful. As I look back on life, I see the opposite side of the tapestry and how He has led me over the years.
Thank you very much, Robert. And that brings us to the point of our conversation today as we were having coffee and chatting. The whole idea of living without regrets came up, and so I thought it'd be helpful to share some of Robert's thoughts and reflections with you. And we're just going to work through a few things that he mentioned are important so that you can live without regrets. And I don't know if I could necessarily say that, but I'm happy to be able to talk to someone who can. Now, the first thing that Robert mentioned as we were chatting is that it's important to have work that you love. Now, why do you mention that?
Well, I don't think there's anything more sad than somebody that goes through their whole life and just wanting to retire, to get out of things because they hate what they're doing. If you enjoy what you do, it's not really work. And I've always found a satisfaction in work. I've been brought up childhood through the Depression and then through the war at a time in Quebec. I have found that there's a satisfaction in accomplished work.
Now, maybe I should ask, what type of work did you do? I guess you did a variety of things, but you were in real estate for a number of years, I understand.
I worked on a farm. I worked in the woods, forestry. I worked on Christmas trees. I was an auctioneer, and I was also spent over 40 years as a real estate broker. And I found that God has led each step of the way. And I had the anxieties of raising a family, not wondering how you're going to support them and so on like that. That is normal. But I committed everything to God after I came to know Him at about the age of 20. He has directed, even as I've seen in the past couple of years and looking back on life, I see His hand in ways that I had never realized before. And I hope that maybe young people can take encouragement that God is leading even when you don't realize it, if you commit your way to Him and ask Him to do so.
Now, one thing you mentioned work. Another item that came up in our conversation was money, and you mentioned it's important not to make money your main goal. So we need money, but it's not the most important thing. Why? What kind of thoughts are you considering there?
Money is a very useful tool, but a horrendous master. And if we make that our goal, we will find at the end of life that there is no satisfaction. If you were to ask any person, regardless of whether they have $1,000 savings or $1 million or $1 billion, ask them how much they need, and the answer will always be just a little more. But with God as the goal in life, serving Him, there can be contentment. For the Bible says, for godliness with contentment is great gain.
And it's hard to strike that balance, I guess, between working hard and striving and accomplishing and making money and yet not making it the most important thing.
Yes, it is hard. But if you remember that whatever is given to you comes from the hand of God, the Bible says, Him that honors me, I will honor. And one of the first things I believe that we find in life is that if we honor God with that money, He will honor us. I remember back in life One time, my wife and I did not have much, and we were caring for an orphan through a program, World Vision. And one morning, one Sunday morning, we heard a broadcast appealing for sponsorship for children that needed it. Never before and never since have I heard that broadcast on the air. And I remember looking at my wife and saying to her, I said, we didn't have much. And I said, what do you say by faith we take a second child? And we did. And you know, I have seen how God opened opportunities for me that gave back much more than we gave to that child. And I have had the distinct impression in my life that if we had not said yes to that, I would never have heard of those opportunities that came up within a few months.
So it sounds to me like that's been a way of life for you, honoring God with what you have.
I have had very, very much support because of a loving Christian wife. And she has had a rough time. She's been through the war. My wife is from Budapest, Hungary, and she knows what hardship is. And together, we face things with the Lord as our chief, as the Lord as our guide. And this has been a tremendous thing, to be able to have spiritual comfort and strength from your helpmate.
So work is very important to try to determine a job that you love, and kind of keeping money in perspective, and then not forgetting about God. And you mentioned also about being available to God's leading. Now, what did you mean by that? Or perhaps you were thinking of a couple examples in your own life.
Well, just being attentive to God's leading, we don't know how we're going to touch others as we walk this life's journey. But God has led in ways that I could never have foreseen. I recall one time when I was in the real estate business. I used to do hospital visitation on Sunday afternoons, like a little bit like a chaplain. And during the, I had made my visitation in the afternoon, and I worked during the week, but I made a point of not working Sundays in my real estate business. And that Sunday night, I got a call from a man who said, my brother is in the hospital. He said, I was wondering if you could visit him next time you're in. And I said, sure. Well, I was taking a note to see about the next Sunday. Monday morning, I had two appointments in the city, about an hour and a half apart. I made one, and it took only a very short time. And I thought to myself, I would go to up the hardware store, like any man, I like going through a hardware store and seeing what there was, and put in the time there. And I drove into the yard of the hardware store, and just as I drove in, it's almost speaking to my heart, it's almost like I heard the words, do you love me? And I said, God, you know I love you. Well, he said, if you love me, he said, your place is at that hospital, not here. And this man had a Christian brother who had witnessed to him over a period of time, and he had no use for the gospel at all. He had a Christian landlord who had witnessed to him. He had no use for it, so there was nothing. But when I went into the hospital, I asked for the room where this man was, and they said he was in the intensive care. So I went up to intensive care, and I opened the door, and he was alone in his room. He was wearing an oxygen mask, and he looked up and he saw me. He tore the oxygen mask off his face, and his first words were to me, I've never thought so much about God in all my life. I went in, I tried to show him the way of salvation, and he prayed to receive the Lord, and he said to me, could you call my brother, have him come down to see me this afternoon. So I called his brother. He said, well, I was in to see him yesterday, but if he wants me to come, I'll come and see him. So I went. So later his brother told me he went in and he had a very good visit with him. The next morning, that same man went into a coma and he died. 2 days later, was dead. And I felt that if I had not been available to the, as God had said, that if you love me, your place is not here but there, I would have had regrets all my life. That man who had refused the gospel all his life, there was an opening there, and that opening was not for long. And I believe this is where we have to be open to the Lord's leading.
So I know just in chatting with you, Robert, that this is not a unique experience. It seems to me that you have these senses that God is leading you on a regular basis, at least. So maybe I could ask you, I don't mean to just make it really neat and tidy, but if there's a young person listening and wondering how they can determine what God is leading them to do, is there any thoughts that come to mind, just perhaps even briefly, about that?
Well, God doesn't give us a roadmap that we can see everything ahead. And God says to occupy till I come, and he wants us to do the ordinary everyday jobs, but do them as unto the Lord. And I still remember, my dad, a very practical man, farmer, and we used to have mission workers would stay, our vacation Bible school workers would stay at our place. And I remember one day there was a Bible school student there, and he'd had a car, and he'd had an accident, and his car was finished, and he was saying to my dad, he says, I don't know what the Lord would have me to do. And my dad's remark was, I think he'd have you stop at the stop sign. So we have to follow the rules of ordinary life. And God will direct from there.
So there's some basic common sense things that people need to attend to and deal with. I guess that there are consequences.
That's correct.
Now, another thing you mentioned, I suppose there's probably quite a few things you could mention, but you mentioned that God is no man's debtor when you think about living with regrets, without regrets, I mean. And what did you mean by that?
Well, in the Bible, we have the stories of the widow with the cruse of oil, how God provided. We have the, recently a pastor said, he said, God is not impressed with the deeds we do. And I went to him afterwards, and I said, you know, immediately when you said that, I said, there was something came to mind from the Bible. I said, Jesus was impressed with the poor widow who had two mites and cast it in. I said, enough so that we still have the story today. And the pastor said, yes, that's right. But she had given her all. And in life, God sees the heart. You see, at that same time, there were people casting into the treasury of God amounts much superior to what that poor widow put in. But God was looking at the heart and how the intent of the heart. And that's what he does with your life or my life. And God's dealing with us will be according to our attitude of heart.
So the heart is a very important part of just living without regrets then as well.
For you young people with a love life and so on, you will find that the heart is very important. You can have a broken heart with a broken relationship with boy or girl and so on like that. But a heart that trusts in God and trusts in a partner in life is a heart that will have a contentment. And this is a direction. Don't be fooled by all the accoutrements of the world that seem to push in from all quarters.
So So living without regrets involves quite a few different things, it seems. And I'm wondering, is there anything else you'd like to ask or you would like to add in terms of just something that comes to mind in terms of how you've been able to say that you have lived without regrets? Of course, I know you mentioned that it's not like you haven't made any mistakes, but you feel like you lived your life the way you wanted to live your life.
One thing, do not live with grudges.
Okay.
I remember as a young man having bought hay and baled it and was selling, and I made the sale, and there was a misunderstanding with a storekeeper who thought he was getting a part of it, and I'd sold it all to somebody else, and it was kind of cold reception when I went into the store about something, and I thought to myself, I'm right, he's wrong. But the more I thought of it, the more I remembered some relatives that spent years of not speaking to neighbors and so on because of grudges. And I thought, I was just a young man at this time. And I thought to myself, I'm not going to live my life that way. And I went immediately to the man, apologized, and asked how I could make it right. And his remark was to me, you're more of a man than somebody else because of what I did. And but I've made a point of that in life, and that way I don't look back and see people that are my enemies. I don't have grudges with anybody. If you have grudges with them, settle them, and make peace with them as quickly as you can.
Well, all of those things are very helpful, and I just want to thank you, Robert, for taking the time to share your thoughts. And we have a little bit of time left, and we hadn't agreed as to what we might add, but if there's anything you'd like to add at the end here, I'd just like you to feel free to offer any insights or words of wisdom you'd like to communicate to someone who might be trying to find their way.
Don't look at any education that you have or any instruction in life that you have as wasted if you are not working in that field.
Okay.
If you're committed to God, God will use in the tapestry of life. He will make use of that somewhere along, and you will find it to be a help later on in life. I've found that very much so. And I've been, as I saw the instruction I needed, it was for the real estate in which I worked for over 40 years. I found, as 30 years on the board of a Christian children's camp, I found that instruction there was most valuable, and was then as I look back, I see that the Lord had allowed that for a purpose, for His honor and for His glory.
Well, maybe that's an appropriate place to wind down our conversation. I want to thank you again very much, Mr. Burns. I appreciated chatting with you. I'm Nathan Olson, and thanks for visiting Career and Life Direction.